I advertised my message this morning. Be a hypocrite. Had a couple people tell me on the way out, oh, I'm going to be here tonight so I can hear that. Well, they're not here, so they'll have to get the tape. You know, I've heard people say about coming to church, different churches, I don't want to go to that church because it's full of hypocrites. And after you hear the sermon tonight, here's what I want you to be able to say. Yep, that's right. It's a bunch of hypocrites. But once you hear the message tonight, I hope you walk away with a different feeling and understanding of what it means to be a hypocrite. When a little boy gets out his dad's tool chest and uses the hammer and the screwdriver, he's pretending to be something he's not. When a little girl gets into her mother's makeup and makes up her face and cakes on the powder and other stuff that is in her mom's vanity and puts on her high heels and walks through the house, she's pretending to be something she's not. They're both pretending to be grown-ups. They're both pretending to be, the little boy is pretending to be a builder, perhaps like his dad is. The little girl is pretending to be a grown woman like her mother is. And yet we do not call them hypocrites, because we see that they are pretending to be something they hope to be someday. And tonight, that's how I want you to think about a hypocrite. A hypocrite is not something and the way I'm going to use the word tonight, is not somebody pretending to be something that they're not. A hypocrite is pretending to be something that they want to be someday. And so I want you to listen to the message tonight. It's going to take me a couple minutes to lay the foundation. In fact, when I get through with the introduction, you'll probably rub your hands together and say, oh, I'm glad he's done. I'll just be getting started, okay? So follow me. The goal of every Christian is to be perfect. Jesus said in Matthew 5:48, be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father, which is in heaven, is perfect. That word perfect doesn't mean sinless. It means mature. It means to be grown up. And that, when Jesus said that, it was a command. And so he commands every Christian, be ye therefore perfect or mature or grown, be a grown up Christian. Every single Christian should have that as a goal, to be a mature grown-up Christian. You know, I can't understand people that get saved and just want to sit down and not grow in their Christian life. You hardly ever find a child that doesn't want to grow up. I mean, you talk to a little 5 or 6 year old and you ask them, how old are you? And they always say, well, I'm 5 and a half. Not just five, I'm 5 and a half, or I'm 5 and 3 quarters, or I'm 6 and 7/8. They want to grow up. You talk to a teenager that's 13, and you ask, how old are you? Well, I'm 13, but I'm almost 16. I'm on just a few more years, and I'm going to get my driver's license. It was kind of scary to hear Damien say this morning that he was 16. I couldn't believe that he was that old and already had his driver's license. But little children, they want to grow up. They don't want to stay the same age. And I have a tough time understanding people that get saved, get their sins washed away, and don't want to grow in the Lord, don't want to mature in the Lord. 2 Peter 3:18, the Bible says, grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And so if our goal is to be a mature Christian, I need to stop for a minute and define for you what I think a mature Christian is. Being a mature Christian, I'm going to give you a very simple definition tonight. Being a mature Christian means allowing God to use you as he wants to use you. I'm a simple preacher, and I have simple definitions. Being a mature Christian is allowing God to use you the way he wants to use you. That's what Paul meant. He was talking about mature Christians in Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, when he says, I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Now, it's reasonable because of everything God did for us. It's reasonable for him to ask for our bodies for his use because he paid for us. I mean, he made us, And then he bought us. He paid for our sin. He sent Jesus to the cross to die in our place. So it's our reasonable service. Paul said, this is just reasonable. What God is asking is not unreasonable. He's asking you to present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto him, and be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. The will of God doesn't need to be proved to God. Some people need to read that verse and say, well, we need to do that so that we can prove to God that his will is good. God already knows his will is good. His will is good. The person it needs to be proved to is us. Is us. We need to present our bodies as living sacrifices and let God use them and use us as he wants to, so that he can prove to us that the will that he has for us is good. And it's certainly better than any will we could come up on for our own. So to lay the foundation of my message tonight, I want to make several statements. Number one, allowing God to use your body to do what he wants done is the mark of a mature Christian. Number two, it is in yielding your body to him so that he can be in you what you wanted to be by yourself but couldn't. You see, every Christian ought to want to be what God wants them to be. Every born-again believer ought to want to be what God wants them to be. We can't do that on our own. Well, I mean, we try, and we fail. I mean, there are things that I want to do as a Christian, and that I have to say, like the Apostle Paul, I know what to do, but I don't do them. And there are things that I know I ought not to do, that I have to say, like the Apostle Paul, I know that I ought not to do them, but I do them anyway. So maturity in the Christian life is coming to the place where you realize I cannot do this on my own. And so I yield myself to Jesus Christ. I yield myself to the Holy Spirit. I ask him to come in and be in me what I wanted to be all along, but couldn't on my own. Number three, one of us must move out. Either I got to move out and let him move in and take control, or I got to kick him out so that I can be in control. I mean, the mature Christian, again, says, I'm moving out, and I'm giving my life, and I'm giving my body, and I'm giving everything I am over to the Lord. I want him to live in me. Number four, Jesus is looking for a body so that he can act like himself. He sits at the right hand of the Father. He's left the Holy Spirit. He has a job that he wants done in this world. I'm sure one of the regrets that Jesus had when he went back to heaven is that he could no longer minister the way that he wanted to minister. That was not God's plan for him to stay. His plan was for Jesus to go back to heaven, sit at the right hand of God, be our advocate. And God's plan was for us to be the body of Christ. And again, I know the church is the body of Christ, but God's plan is for us to be the body of Christ so that he could use our body to continue his ministry. If Jesus has hands on this earth today, it must be our hands. If he has a tongue on this earth today, it must be our tongue. If he has a body on this earth today, it must be our body. And so we have to move out. We have to relinquish control. We have to give up our will and say to the Holy Spirit, you move in. We have to say to the Father, not my will, but your will be done. We have to say to Jesus Christ, I want you to live through me. Number five, nobody can be like Jesus can. Now, again, I'm a simple preacher, but I have some deep thoughts every now and then. I think this is one of them. Nobody can be like Jesus can. So why don't you just quit trying to be like Jesus? Yield yourself to him. Ask him to come in to your body. Ask him to come into your life. And let Jesus live through you.
no, I mean, we can try to be like him. In just a second, I'm going to tell you to do that. But the mature Christian says, I can't do it on my own. And so I'm moving out. I'm letting Jesus move in. I'm going to let him live through me. So being a mature Christian means that you move out. You, by faith, invite him in. And you allow him to be Jesus in and through you. Number six. So all I ever wanted to be as a Christian, all I ever wanted to be, he becomes in me and through me. I've tried. You've tried. We've failed. We on our own, we can't love like him. On our own, we can't forgive like him. On our own, we can't be gentle like he is. And what we need to say is say, okay, Lord, I'm tired of trying it on my own. I don't want to do it on my own anymore. I'm going to fail every time. I'm moving out. I want you to move in. I want you to live through me. These are your hands. They're not mine anymore. Use them as you see fit. This is your tongue. It's not mine anymore. You use it as you see fit. Now, that's my introduction. That ought to be our goal. To get to that point in our life where we yield ourselves completely to God, where we give him our bodies, where we ask him to move in, we ask him to take control, and we ask him to live through us. Now, I want to tell you, that doesn't happen the week after you get saved. It's not an instantaneous process like salvation is. You know, when you ask Jesus to be your Savior, you're saved immediately. There's no process that you have to go through. When he died on the cross to pay for your sins and you receive that for yourself, you ask him to save you, you are as saved as you're ever going to be that moment you put your trust in Jesus Christ. But maturity and getting to that point where we yield ourselves to God and we ask him to move in and take control is a process. It's like a little child that's growing up. You don't have a little baby and expect them to be an adult the next week or the next year. It takes a lot of training. It takes a lot of teaching. It takes a lot of disciplining. It takes a lot of things from mom and dad to help that child to grow, to mature, to grow up, to be an adult. Well, the same thing is true about our maturity in Christ. It's a process. It doesn't happen overnight. It takes a lot of yielding. It takes a lot of training. It takes a lot of preaching. It takes a lot of Bible study. It takes a lot of growing. Now, again, our goal ought to be, I want to mature. I want to get to that point in my life where I yield it to God. But again, it doesn't happen overnight. It's a process. We as Christians, we ought to desire that. There's some Christians I saw a cartoon. How many of you know who I'm talking about when I say Mutt and Jeff? You ever seen that cartoon? So Jeff was lying under a tree doing nothing. Mutt comes up to him and says, why don't you get up? And Jeff says, why? And Mutt says, so you can get a job. And Jeff says, why? And Mutt says, so you can make a lot of money. And Jeff says, why? So you can retire. Why? So you can lay under a tree and do nothing. Mutt says, well, I'm doing that now. Why should I do all that other stuff? That's the way a lot of Christians think. They think when they get saved, they've arrived. They think when they got saved, they're everything that God wants them to be. And that's the wrong way to think about it. When you get saved, you're just starting the journey. When you get saved, you're just starting the process. Yeah, you're heaven is for sure. You're on your way to heaven. Your sins have been forgiven. You've been justified. You're a child of God. But you are in no way what God wants you to be yet. It's going to take some training. God's going to have to do some work in your life. He wants you to be perfect. He wants you to be mature. And so be working on that. He's working on you. I remember that little song. I think it was Travis that sang it. He's still working on me to make me everything I want to be. It took him just a week to make the moon and stars and something else. But he's still working on me. And he is. He's still working on us to help us reach that maturity. So until you get there, fake it. We read that verse. Put on the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, what that means is that you start acting like Jesus. It may not come out of your heart. It may not be what you want to do because, again, the Holy Spirit's still working on you to yield to Him so that He can move in and take complete control and live through you. But until you get to that point, now my message tonight is be a hypocrite. Put on the Lord Jesus Christ. Start acting like Him. Oh, I know you're not the Lord Jesus Christ. I know I'm not the Lord Jesus Christ. I know I don't think like Him. I know I don't love like Him. I know I don't always speak like Him. I don't always interact with other people like He does. I don't always love people the way He does. But He's working on me. He's working on me to get me to yield myself to Him so that He can move in, take complete control, and do my thinking and do my loving and do my speaking and do my interacting with people. But until I get to that point, the Bible says, put on the Lord Jesus Christ. In other words, even though you may not feel it, even though you may not understand it, you just start acting like Jesus. Some people might call you a hypocrite, but you're not pretending to be something that you're not. You're pretending to be something that you want to be. You're pretending to be something that one day, the Lord willing, you will be. Amen. So when somebody says to me now, your church is full of hypocrites, here's what I'm going to say. You betcha. And I love every one of them, and so does the Lord Jesus Christ, because they're putting on Him. He hasn't moved in yet. He hasn't taken complete control yet. But until He does, we're going to do our best to act just like Him. Amen. Now, I'm going to make a confession tonight. I always worry when I do this because it always comes back to get me. I'm not much of a morning person. When I get up in the morning, I'm a little grouchy. Now, you know, Brother Wayne told that good joke on me Thursday night. I told one on him Thursday night. Since a lot of you weren't here, I'm going to tell you. And then Thursday night, if you weren't here, Wayne and Carol did what they do sometimes. They kibitz with one another. They tease one another. They say things to each other I know they don't mean. So they'd gone to the doctor. And Wayne was complaining about how Carol always wakes up grouchy in the morning. And the doctor says, well, I'll talk to her. So he sends Wayne out. He calls Carol in. He says, Carol, do you always wake up grumpy in the morning? And she said, no, I let him sleep as long as I can. Now, I got a confession to make to you. Most of the mornings, I wake up a little bit grumpy. In fact, most mornings, I don't want to get up. Sunday morning, my routine is I set my alarm for 5 o'clock and I finish up my Sunday school lesson. And I set two alarms. I have a snooze button that if I'm not careful, I'll push it and go back to sleep. But I put one alarm across the room where I have to get up, get out of bed, and go off to turn it off. And by the time I'm across the room, I'm up and I'm awake. But I'm grumpy. When I was married, I was grumpy. Sometimes Debbie would come in and say, good morning. And I wanted to just tell her, shut up, would you please? It's too early to be so pleasant. But I learned right quick that that was not the right thing to do. And so even though I was grumpy on the inside, I said to her, good morning, sweetheart. How are you today? When I just really wanted to wring her neck for being so happy. I've had people tell me, oh, I wish I could jump out of bed with your energy. Well, what they don't know is I don't jump out of bed with a lot of energy. I am resurrected every morning because I just die. Now, I'll be honest with you. Sometimes on Sunday morning, even when I get here, I'm a little bit grumpy. But here's what I do. I put on friendliness. I put on pleasantness. I put on, I'm just so happy to be here. You heard the story about, well, who told this story about the mother talking to their child? Say, get up, get up, get up. And they told it Thursday night. Get up. See, you don't think I listen, but I listen. Get up, get up, get up. It's time to go to church. And her son says from the other room, I don't want to go to church this morning. And she says, you got to go. And he says, why? And I'll just give you the short version. Because she said, you're the pastor. You have to go. And so, again, sometimes I get here and I'm grumpy. I put on friendliness. And I put on pleasantness. And I put on cheer. And I put on joy. And you know what? By the time I shake 20 or 30 hands, I do feel friendly. I do feel happy. I do feel pleasant. I do feel joy. So that's what that verse is saying. Put on the Lord Jesus Christ. He's helping you to mature. He's helping you to get to that point where you're going to yield yourself to him, let him move in and take complete control. But until that point, fake it. Fake it. I can't remember who I was talking to. I think it was at the hospital. A little book, a guy by the name of Shelton wrote it, and the title of it was What Would Jesus Do? And it was a story of a whole town that decided that whatever situation they were going to come across, they were going to ask the question before they made a decision or before they took any action, what would Jesus do in this particular situation? And they made a promise to one another that for 30 days, that's exactly what they would do. They would think about what Jesus would do, and that's the action that that they would take. And you can imagine that it revolutionized the town. It completely changed the town. What if in our life, every decision, every action, before we took it, we would say, what would Jesus do? Now, when we get mature, when he's taken complete control of us, when he's living through us, we'll do that. We won't have to ask the question because he's got control of us. I mean, we'll just do what he wants us to do. But until we get to that point, let's just fake it. Let's just fake it. Let's be hypocrites. Again, we're not pretending to be something that we're not. We're pretending to be something that we want to be. And here's how it works. So he's on the inside working out. We're on the outside working in. You know what's going to happen? Pretty soon, the two are going to meet. What's on the inside is going to meet what's on the outside, and we're going to reach that state of maturity. We're going to yield ourselves to the Lord Jesus Christ. We're going to move out. We're going to give up complete control of our life, and we're going to say, I want you to live through me. These are your hands. Use them as you see fit. These are your feet. You take them wherever you want me to go. This is your tongue. You speak the words that you want me to speak. This is your heart. You love like me. You want me to love. We'll have his forgiveness. We'll have his understanding. We'll have his graciousness. I mean, just think about Jesus. Think about all that he is. One day, and I know people think, well, yeah, we won't get there till we get to heaven, but we can get close. One day I will awake with his likeness, but until I get there, I'm going to do my best to do what he would do. To be what he is. People may call us hypocrites. And again, we're not trying to be something we're not. We're trying to be something we want to be someday. Put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ. Don't give occasion to the flesh. You know who's going to fight us from doing this? Satan. He doesn't want us to be like Jesus Christ. He doesn't want us to love like him. He doesn't want us to forgive like him. He doesn't want us to talk like him. And he'll throw every obstacle in our path to stop us from doing it. But I have some good news for you tonight. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Amen. Greater is he that is in you than he is in the world. And so tonight, my charge to you and to myself is Be a hypocrite. Be a hypocrite. If you don't feel like it, do it anyway. If it doesn't come from your heart, do it anyway. Put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ. One day he'll live through us, and we won't have to fake it. But until then, let's just do it. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for the instruction that it gives us. And I pray tonight that as we hear your word, we would understand what you're trying to tell us. We know that one day, if you keep working on us, that we'll be able to yield more and more of ourselves to you. And I pray, Father, until that day, we would just put on Jesus and do what he would do. I pray tonight if there's somebody here that doesn't know him as their Savior, they need to take that first step of obedience. They need to receive Christ as their Savior. And I pray tonight, Holy Spirit, that you'd help them see their sin. You'd help them see the penalty that God has ascribed to that sin, death, separation from him. But Father, help them to also see the price that Jesus paid on Calvary. He bore all our sins. He paid the penalty we owe. He did pay it all. And I pray, Father, tonight they would just make that decision, a decision of the will, to receive what Christ purchased for them on Calvary. Most of us tonight are Christians. Our sins have been forgiven. They're under the blood. We've been redeemed. We've been justified. Father, help us to not stop there. Help us to strive to be mature, to where we yield ourselves to you. So bless this invitation. Use it as you see fit. I ask all this in Christ's name. Amen.